We have 500 limited edition Here I Stand t-shirts available for new members of the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Click the picture of these limited edition long sleeve shirts. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Every week we take on another evangelical cliche. Today, it's one that you've probably heard, you've probably said yourself. And when you hear it, you say, well, that sounds right. What could be wrong with it? The cliche is, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Or there are variations. I don't need to go to church to be saved, or I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Those are kind of more aggressive forms of it. What do we make of this evangelical cliche? What is it saying about being a Christian? What is it saying about the church? We'll answer those questions with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and he hosts a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of WeTV. Pastor Wolfmiller, welcome back.
Thank you.
When someone says, going to church doesn't make you a Christian, what view of the church are they kind of hinting at there?
Well, it's really, you know, that what we think of the church has everything to do with what we think of God's word, and so how we think about the church is completely dependent on our opinion of the scripture. And when an evangelical American Christian says, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian, what they're showing there, I mean, there's a couple of things behind it. There might be a laziness, there's also an individualism, but chiefly the theological error that sits behind it is enthusiasm. And that is the idea that I have faith and all these spiritual things in my own heart, via my own resources, apart from the external word.
Okay, so that is really an important idea in evangelicalism. I mean, it results in many other cliches as well, that idea that somehow I have access to God, my own little private pipeline to God.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That the evangelical understands that the realm of spiritual activity is my own heart. I mean, that's where spiritual things happen, inside of me. And it's basically like I'm carrying around a church with me. I mean, the church for the evangelical, where spiritual things happen, is inside the heart. So why would I need to go to a building when I have the church with me already in my heart? And that's what's behind it. Now, there's a number of bad things that lead up to that cliche, and there's a number of bad things that grow out of that cliche, but that's the essential thing, is that the evangelical understands themselves as kind of their own individual heart, where the Lord dwells and sows his riches and grace.
All right, so it's not exactly a church of one, because if you pointed that out to the evangelical, said, you know, this is really your view of the church, and it's essentially you are a church of one. Why would you go to church at all then, Brian?
Well, I mean, that's I suppose it depends on your kind of flavor of church. But most of the time, I remember being an evangelical, and the metaphor of being a church was that you go to get plugged in or filled up or recharged. It's like, I mean, you go out and you got to do all these good works to serve God and to make him happy, and that wears you out. So you got to go to church to get filled back up. Now, this is an incredibly similar to the Catholic doctrine of infused grace, where you go to church to receive God's power to be able to do meritorious good works. But that's the idea of the evangelical. You got to go and get worked up. You got to go get re-excited, recharged, re-energized to go out there and be missionaries and convert the world.
Do they also have a rather simplistic understanding of what it means to go to church? I mean, in other words, they're going to reduce it to showing up for a certain amount of time at a certain building with a certain group of people, which doesn't sound much like how the Bible describes church.
Yeah, and I would say most American Christians, I would hope and I think, have a more sophisticated view of church than that. The church is not the building. The church is the people, which, again, is a bit of a cliche to be considered as well. But I don't think that the idea of going to the building is really what is meant by going to church for most evangelicals, at least I hope. Now, when you hear someone say, hey, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, that is probably what they are thinking about. And what's being expressed in that cliche. And the point is this, there's nothing special that happens when I go to the building that doesn't happen everywhere else. Now this is, we resist that idea because we understand that in fact, when you gather as a church, it doesn't matter if it's in a building or on Sunday or where or when or whatever, but when we gather around the Lord's word and his sacraments, that something special, something unique, something holy is in fact happening, and it is therefore important to be gathered by the Lord to his word and to his sacraments.
So would we say, I've often said, and am I overstating the case, when people say, why do you go to church? My answer is usually, well, because going to church is the only thing that's keeping me a Christian. If I cut myself off from Christ as he is there in his word and sacraments, I cease to be a Christian. I can't sustain this under my own power whatsoever.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I mean, so it's hearing the voice of Jesus that makes us Christians or just down the street. That's in John chapter 10 and John chapter 15. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So that when we hear the Lord's word, we are abiding in him. When we listen to the preaching of law and gospel, we are joined to Christ, and it's from him that our life flows. If we don't hear the Lord's word, in other words, we don't go to church, then that life is choked out, and like a branch that's cut off of the vine, our faith and everything good that the Lord has for us withers and dies.
But the evangelical wouldn't deny those verses. He would just come up with or he would suppose a different means of being connected to Christ as branches to vine.
That's exactly right. It's all internal and not external. One of the geniuses of the Lutheran Reformation is captured in this phrase, the external word. Now, you shouldn't need the adjective external to describe the Lord's word. It's kind of a tautology. It is the same thing, but they were fighting against the wrong idea that God's word is internal, that the spiritual activity is all happening in the theater of my own heart, and nothing that's outside matters. I mean, this is so bad in American evangelicalism that if anything is outside of you, it's automatically considered law and not gospel, command and not promise. So that anything on the outside, like water or bread and wine with the Lord's body and blood, or even the preaching of the word or a pastor standing there preaching, that's all considered law, and it doesn't have any spiritual benefit until it manifests, the Holy Spirit manifests that benefit in my own heart, in the theater of the heart. And that is really what's at stake. So they would say, yeah, you have to abide in Christ. You have to hear his word. But that doesn't mean to go and hear the preacher. It means to have the quiet time and to hear the voice of Jesus inside of you.
So the prayer closet will do just as well as church on Sunday morning, if not better.
Yeah, better. Absolutely, it's better. And in fact, that's one of the marks of spiritual maturity is you don't need to go to church because you have it all on your own. You can do it yourself, you see? So that when you become a mature Christian, according to the American evangelicalism, the church is a crutch, and now you don't need it. The direct line to the Holy Spirit yourself. That's why, by the way, that most American evangelical churches consider worship to be for the unbeliever and not for the Christian. The Christian doesn't need that. It's the unbeliever who needs it. But once you're a believer, you have direct access to God, no intermediary, nothing standing in between. It's all happening in your heart, and that's how you advance spiritually.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We'll take a break when we come back. About another 10 minutes with him responding to the evangelical cliché, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. He hosts a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of WeTV. We'll be right back.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Ministry happens at church. This is a radio outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Paul's Lutheran, Coleman, Alabama. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Lake George Lutheran Chapel, Fremont, Indiana. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington. Faith Lutheran, Buford, South Carolina. Trinity Lutheran, Great Falls, Montana, Mount Calvary Lutheran, Westview, Pennsylvania, St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota, Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa, Trinity and Grace Lutheran, Bear Creek, Wisconsin, St. Paul Lutheran, Sevierville, Tennessee, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're dealing with the evangelical cliche with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. The cliche is, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You know, it's the view that has actually dominated so much of foreign missions. They don't need to send a pastor who will actually baptize, preach from a pulpit, administer the Lord's Supper. That's not missions. Missions is more of this church of one stuff. He might go out and just knock doors, and yeah, maybe he might set up a house church here and there, but it's not Lutheran missions that is centered around where Christ is really found for sinners, that is in baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the preaching of God's word of law and gospel. Luther Academy knows better, serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. You can find out more about this great mission organization, Luther Academy, on the web, lutheracademy.com. Sign up for their free email newsletter, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy. Pastor Wolfmiller, I'm kind of curious about this notion. We talked about the different view of the church. Does this cliche, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian, also betray a different view of what it means to be a Christian?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned the Luther Academy. I had the privilege of going 2 summers ago to Madagascar with the Luther Academy, and we did a pastor's conference. It's unbelievable, these pastors. You know, they have 10 congregations. They have tons of all these people, and they're wondering, they're asking the exact opposite question that we're asking. They're asking the question, how come we don't get more pastors? And I told them, I said, we're asking the question, how come we don't get more Christians? But you pray for us that we get more Christians, and we'll pray for you that Jesus gives you more pastors, and hopefully it'll work itself out. But there's this idea in American Christianity that the Christian does not need a pastor. This is one of the big ways that it's different, that each person kind of stands by themselves. It's not just a kind of practical individualism, it's a theological individualism. And that manifests itself in another cliche, which is something like, hey, I don't need anyone to stand between me and God. There's no one between me and God, which is, I mean, in some ways it's true. I mean, the Lord deals with us directly through his appointed means. But his appointed means are the pastors that he sends to preach the word. I mean, Paul says, how can they hear how can they believe unless they hear, and how can they hear if someone doesn't preach to them? And then he quotes that kind of crazy but wonderful Isaiah text, how beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news. In other words, Jesus is dealing with you directly through the pastor. Jesus is dealing with you directly through the word preached. Jesus is dealing with you directly through baptism and the Lord's Supper. And to say that these things are getting in the way of me dealing with Jesus is crazy. It's like saying, it'd be like me giving Carrie a great, I don't know, gift. I'd bring home a dozen, I better do this now, bring home a dozen roses and give it to her as a gift. And she says, no, I want to deal with you directly. I get these roses out of here. Well, no, this is the way that I'm showing you my love and affection. This is what Jesus is doing in the Word and the sacraments. He's showing us his great love and giving us his great promises, and we say, I don't need these? Now, that sets the Christian off apart from the sacraments. And I think this is our chief way to understand American Christianity, and especially American evangelicalism, is that they are a sacramentless church. They do not have the doctrine of the efficacy of the Word, that God actually delivers promises in the Word, and therefore they do not have the doctrine that the Lord can deliver promises in baptism and the Lord's Supper like he's instituted, and their whole theological program is searching, groping in the dark for some sort of certainty because they've refused to receive those things which the Lord uses to deliver the certainty of forgiveness of sins.
Does it explain why, and we've often talked about kind of the Willow Creek model, where Willow Creek had as its model to bring in people, and then one of those sacramentless churches, even though they have a huge lake beside their on their main campus for doing their big baptismal services, they teach that it really is a nothing, a symbol, your symbol presented to God. But it does explain why, at long last, when they finally get around to asking their longest-time members, and we're not talking about a long time for many of them, their longest-time members, they're dissatisfied. They want to be fed spiritually, but the response from Willow Creek, and sadly so many churches trying to be like them, is, no, you don't understand. We're trying to teach you how to do this all on your own. You shouldn't need to be fed. You need to learn how to be self-feeders.
Yeah. It's really kind of embarrassing. I mean, that'd be like the person that just says the mom who says, "I want to have a lot of babies, but I don't want to feed them." You know, I mean, it's just abuse. Jesus has instituted his church and the office of pastor and the estate and the vocation of Christian, so that he can take care of us. And even pastors need pastors. This is the point. There's no pastorless person, not in the Lord's church. Because we are all in need constantly of being tended to, of being cared for, of being fed the Lord's Word. And this is our nourishment and our life. And to say that, no, we're going to outgrow that, or we're going to be the church, but we're not going to provide it, is spiritual abuse. It's what our mutual friend Chris Roseborough, he says, these are not shepherds, they're goat herders. And that is the a damning but absolutely accurate title for this kind of way of doing supposed ministry.
What's the end result of a Christian who buys into, believes, and then tries to put into practice, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian?
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're not around the preaching of the Word, the distinction between law and gospel is absolutely incredibly difficult, and especially in the situations of suffering. Now, on the one hand, we don't want to go too far because, I remember when I was a pastor, the first question the people here asked me is, hey, can you worship Jesus in the mountains? And I said, well, it depends. If you crash in the mountains and now you're trying to survive and you can't get to church on Sunday, then absolutely, Jesus is there with you all the time. But if you'd rather just be skiing rather than coming to the divine service, then look out. Jesus is not there for you. So there's some comfort in the idea that we don't need to go to church, especially for those people who have no church around them. Jesus is still with you, and he still takes care of you. But for those who want to despise church and the Lord's gifts of church, when we make ourselves these theological islands, then always the law is going to be distorted, and so is the gospel. The law is going to start to look a lot like how I want it to look, and it's going to be puffing me up in pride because I'm living how I think I ought to live. And the gospel is going to seem like it's an accidental sort of thing. It becomes unnecessary because when I'm a church to myself, it really becomes a church of my own self-justification, and I get puffed up in pride. and I don't need the death of Jesus because of how great I'm doing. And that's the real danger.
Is it in danger, very closely in danger of kind of playing into that notion? I think that's what you're hinting at. Some famous evangelical leader a couple decades ago says, you know, the forgiveness of sins is really, really great, but what's even better is not needing it. That if you're really a mature Christian, you can, you know, the lesser Christians will still come to Jesus for forgiveness, but if you're really pulling this off, you'll need that less and less.
Yeah.
You need the church less and less, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's exactly right. See, the law and the gospel are a hard word for us to hear. And it's very, very difficult to give yourself medicine that you don't want to take. And so you need it from the outside. And when we're not doing, when we're self-medicating on the scriptures, you know, when it's all simply of me feeding myself the scriptures, then I'm going to soften the law to where it starts to match up a lot with how I live. You know, I'm going to manipulate the law so it matches my own righteousness. And the gospel is even worse. I mean, the gospel is always a surprise to us. It always has to be told to us. The devil's always attacking our faith, and so the gospel has to come with that certainty that it's sure and certain apart from my feelings of it. But when it's just me and by myself, me and the Word, me and Jesus talking to my heart, the thing that's lost is that certainty of law and gospel, and that's everything for the Christian.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He co-hosts a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and he hosts a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of WeTV. Brian, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, Concordia Publishing House's fall warehouse sale ends at midnight tonight, Central Time. You can take advantage of dramatically reduced prices on their resources and many of those that you hear about here on Issues, etc. Go to their website tonight, shop around, cph.org, cph.org, for the last few hours of Concordia Publishing House's fall warehouse sale online, cph.org. Tomorrow on Issues, etc., we'll conclude our series on Christian apologetics, talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about the Jesus of other religions. Now, almost every religion has a place for Jesus. He might be a prophet, an ascended master. He might be a great teacher, a great moral example. Most religions have a place for Jesus, but not the real Jesus. They fashion a Jesus in the image of that religion. So we'll talk a little bit about the Jesus of Islam, the Jesus of Buddhism, the Jesus of Hinduism, the Jesus of any other religion you want to talk about tomorrow on Issues, etc. with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. We'll also look forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. You know what? You do need to go to church to be a Christian, because the church is where Christ is in the preaching of his word of law and gospel, where he is in the water of baptism forgiving sins, where he is in his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. You do need to go to church to be a Christian. That's where Jesus is. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things: the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us: broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.